home and mom said, where have you been? Or who have you been with? What is that smell? Right? Has that ever happened as a kid? You know, depending on who you'd been with. She'd go, is that smoke I smell? Anybody ever get in trouble because you was hanging out with somebody that was smoking? Or, is that perfume? Maybe, depending on which, you know, boy or girl, if you was getting in trouble, which way. But when we've been at certain places, or we've been with certain people, we smell like them. My question this morning may be a little strange. Do you smell like Jesus? Have you been with him? Has he rubbed off on you and you smell like Jesus? Do you have his compassion? Do you have his love? Do you have his mercy? Do you have his grace? Do you have his patience? Do you have his kindness? Has Jesus rubbed off on you? Have you been with Jesus so much that you're like him, that you smell like him, if you will? In the last 2 weeks, we've talked about being changed by the resurrection of Jesus. The apostles going from being afraid and hiding behind a locked door to being able to preach publicly and willing to die for what they were preaching. And for us to be changed because we have committed our life to Christ, because we have been immersed into the watery grave of baptism, because we have received the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit, because we have been changed. Well, how were the apostles changed? And how can we be changed? It's very simple. Spend time with Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do people take note that you have been with Jesus? It was just a normal day. Peter and John headed back up to the temple to pray in the afternoon. But today was a little different. Somehow they took notice of this beggar. But the beggar was there every day. How did they not see him that, you know, any other day? Or maybe the beggar had been busy, you know, getting gifts from other folks, and Peter and John hadn't seen him. But this day, the beggar saw Peter and John, and Peter and John saw the beggar. In Acts chapter 3, it tells us, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the prayer, at time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold do I not have. But what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, coming into the temple is a somber place. Coming into the church building seems to be a somber. Now, if somebody come in running and jumping and praising God, anybody come in doing that this morning? Anybody going to do that right now? No? Well, it'd be a stir. People go, what's going on? And people started running to where this was going on. Rubbernecking is nothing new. wanting to be in the know is nothing new. It's like, what's all this commotion? Now, the temple commotion, who's going to be coming? The bouncers, I mean the guards, the ushers. No, it's actually temple guards coming with the priests to go, we're settling this down now. And what do they find? They find this lame man who's been known to be a lame man jumping and praising God. And then we've got these two apostles over here talking about Jesus who's been crucified, but now he's alive. There's all kinds of ruckus going on in the temple. Well, we've got to quiet this down, the priest and the guards say. So what do? They arrest Peter and John. They put him in prison for the night until the court can assemble the next day. And so then the next morning, Peter and John were called before the high priest's family and the other religious leaders to give an account of what they had done. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, referring to Jesus, is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It was this very group of men who convinced Pilate to crucify Jesus because he was a blasphemer. And now Peter and John, who just a few days earlier was hiding behind a locked door, is accusing them of crucifying Jesus and saying there is no other way to heaven except through this crucified Jesus whom God raised from the dead. That's blasphemy to the religious leaders of the Jews. Are Peter and John crazy? They're going to be killed. They're going to be crucified just like Jesus was. That's the backdrop of verse 13. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, see, there's the courage because what they were saying was crazy talk, especially to that group, because they had the power. Well, to at least punish. They didn't have the power to kill. They'd have to get the Romans to do that. But they had the power to arrest and harass and persecute. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary. They were just fishermen. They weren't trained by any rabbi. They were unschooled, unintelligent. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, these religious leaders had seen that same kind of passion and that same kind of courage 2 months earlier when Jesus stood before them. He wasn't shaken by what they had to say or their threats. And Peter and John was not threatened by what they had to say or their threats. They were courageous in speaking the truth, no matter what was going to happen to them. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the religious leader's shoes, thinking, man, didn't we just deal with this group of religious fanatics? We killed your leader. Just go away. Well, the only way you're going to get rid of the apostles and the believers is to shut them up like you shut Jesus up and to kill them. And eventually, that's what happened. But it didn't shut up the message, because that message continues today through us. And it better not shut up now because we're too scared to name the name of Jesus. Well, it's easy to come into the church building and praise his name. But what about praising his name out in public where we may not get such a good reception? His name must not be shut down because we're scared or because we're not bold enough or because we're not courageous enough. We need to be courageous like Peter and John as they followed the example of Jesus. In the face of death, they were courageous. And these religious leaders thought, well, the only explanation for their courage is that they've been with Jesus. The only explanation for your courage and your boldness is because you've been with Jesus. What other explanation is there? Because Jesus was courageous. When he's in the garden and he prayed 3 times that the Father's will would be done, and he went back to get the disciples and they were asleep. And what did he say in Matthew 26, 46? Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He wasn't running away. He was going towards Judas, the betrayer, and the mob. And then in verse 50, Jesus said, friend, talking to Judas, do what you came for. The men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Jesus was courageous and unafraid in the face of arrest and death on the cross. Because that's why he came. That's why he left the glories of heaven to be born as a little child, to live in this wretched world, to die on a rugged cross. That's why he came. And he faced that with courage and not fear. And so Peter and John could face the same kinds of threats now with courage. How is your courage? How is your courage in the face of death? How is your courage to speak the name of Jesus and to stand up for what is right and godly? Or do we cower in the corner, afraid to speak, afraid to stand up? How is your courage? We will have courage if we've spent time with Jesus. And if you don't have courage, maybe you haven't spent enough time with Jesus. See, when we're around courageous people, we become courageous. Remember David? All the Israelites, Goliath comes out and he shouts from one ridge to the other, and all of the Israelite armies are over here, and they're shaken with fear every time Goliath came out every morning and shouted his threats against the army of the living God. David heard it, and he said, I'll take on that giant. And so he took him on. You'll have to read 1 Samuel 16, 17, somewhere in there. To get all the details. But David went down and he faced the giant and he killed the giant and he cut off his head with his own sword. And what happened to the Israelite army? They quit shaking and they came running down pursuing the Philistines all the way until they wiped them out. All it takes is one person to be courageous for others to follow. Will you be that one who is courageous to speak the name of Jesus so that others will follow? See, if we're around courageous people, we become courageous. And so if we're around Jesus, we'll become courageous. We'll smell like Jesus. We will be like Jesus. We'll be courageous. But I'm afraid too many of us are like Judas. We've been around Jesus, but we haven't been with Jesus. Judas knew everything that all the other apostles knew. He had spent 3.5 years with Jesus also. But he did not apply what Jesus was saying. He didn't put it into practice. He didn't accept it. He wasn't doing it. We have to be influenced by Jesus to be changed. Being around Jesus and being with Jesus is not the same thing. Being around Christians and being with Jesus is not the same thing. Being around church and being with Jesus is not the same thing. Billy Sunday said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Showing up here at church doesn't make you a Christian. Even reading your Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to be with Jesus. They took note that they had been with Jesus. They didn't say that about Judas. Judas wasn't changed. We need revival in our own soul to be changed, to be converted, to be new, to be renewed day by day by Jesus. We've got to spend time with Him and let Him and His words change us and influence us. How do we do that? And what will we look like after we have been with Jesus? Judas had been with Jesus, but it didn't take. Judas was selfish, and he didn't let the words of Jesus change him. Are you allowing the words of Jesus to change you? Jesus often said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, if you hear, that means you put it into practice. Hear the word and do the word. It's not enough to read the Bible. We've got to put it into practice. It does you no good to come to church, sing songs, listen to a sermon if you never change. Now, of course, we need to develop relationships with Christians. We need to truly worship God through our songs. We need to hear God's word and His message and put it into practice to be truly changed, truly converted, truly influenced, so we can truly say we have been with Jesus. So put the words of Jesus into practice, and that will show that we have been with Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." See, that is us. If we've been with Jesus, He is our rock. No matter what comes, we can stand strong. Our life on the rock of Jesus will make us courageous. It'll make us fearless. It'll make us brave to stand up for Him and to speak His name, even in the face of persecution. Being with Jesus means putting His words into practice, which means you have to know what His words are in order to put them into practice. You can't put something into practice if you don't know what they are. So we've got to read the Bible. We've got to study the Bible. We have to practice what the Bible says. So if you're not reading your Bible every day, no one is ever going to take note that you've been with Jesus. Being with Jesus has to be a consistent part of your life so you can be changed, so we can put into practice what He has taught. What do you know that the Bible teaches? Do you know some things that the Bible teaches? Of course we do. Let me ask you a different question. What do you know that the Bible teaches that you are not doing? Uh-oh. Do you know some stuff in God's word that you're not doing? Let me give you a little secret. See, even if you're not reading your Bible every day, you still already know some of it that you're not doing. You better start putting it into practice. So then maybe people will take note that you've been with Jesus. We have to let Jesus influence us, and we have to quit resisting. But it's so hard to take up my cross every day. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. And guess what? If you spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer, and if you hang out with fellow believers, guess what? You may just find it a little easier to put those things into practice. Let Jesus influence you and quit resisting. We could all improve. We could all look a little more like Jesus if we would put into practice some of the things in God's Word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. So what are we supposed to put on? We're supposed to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. We need to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So if nothing else, study Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, and put that into practice. Or we could go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and make sure that we're practicing the fruit of the Spirit, allowing the Spirit and who He is come out in our lives, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can allow the Spirit, if we're in the Spirit, we're allowing the Spirit to work through us, that we would demonstrate His fruit. We would grow in His fruit. And those are a good list, but let me step on your toes. Let Jesus step on your toes. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Put your feet under your chairs. Jesus says, do not worry. If you're like Jesus, you're not going to worry about your life. What you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? The answer is yes. We are more valuable than the birds of the air. And so Jesus concludes, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If we're going to look like Jesus, if we're going to smell like Jesus, if we're going to be with Jesus, we can't worry about the things of this world. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles. That means that you're going to place your troubles at Jesus' feet. And you're going to allow Him to take them and control them and take care of everything. And you just rest in His comfort and rest in His peace, where you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to stress about it, because you can't change it anyway. You're going to rest in Him and under His protection. Christian, that is what we need to do. But we also, if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be changed, we have to accept God's will. Now, I think in Acts chapter 4, the following part of that chapter, it's very interesting. When Peter and John get released from prison and from the religious leaders, after they're threatened and they go back to the other believers, what happens? See, what we want is for our will to be done. We like things to be done the easy way. But that's not what God has called us to do. See, we just wish we had the easy button, right? Every time. Oh, life is tough. Easy button, easy button. But that's not necessarily God's will. We have to pray that God's will be done and pray that we are bold and not stop in the face of persecution. See, that's exactly what happened with Peter and John and the others. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, so this is the same story, the same occurrence. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Well, what'd they say? Quit talking in the name of Jesus. Shut up. We don't want to hear it anymore. Don't be going around healing people. Stop it. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer and said, Sovereign Lord, you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. Now, Lord, consider their threats and protect us from any further persecution. Oh, I don't think that's what verse 29 said. Now, Lord, this is their prayer. They've just been threatened. And what is their prayer? Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. If we have been with Jesus, we'll be courageous in the face of death. We're praying, God, your will be done. Not that you take this hardship away from me. Not that you take their threats away from me. Not that you even protect me to live. God, help us to be bold in the face of their threats. Can we pray that prayer? It's like, well, could we just pray a different prayer, please? Isn't there some other prayers in the Bible that we could pray? Well, there are. But how about pray this one? Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Wow. Speak with boldness in the face of the threats. Will you speak the name of Jesus in boldness this week, and you're not even going to be threatened to be killed? You'd just be threatened to be looked at like you're a little crazy. The fact is, people probably already look at you that way. So what's different? You know, speak the name of Jesus. Be bold. Be bold. So the Christians prayed Scripture. They prayed for boldness to speak. They didn't pray for the easy path. They didn't pray that they wouldn't be arrested. They didn't pray that they wouldn't die. They prayed, enable us to speak your word with boldness. They were bold because they had been with Jesus. And we can be bold if we've been with Jesus. Now, that's not typically our American perspective on life, because we want it to be easy, and we pray, God, take this away from us. But I think we have been influenced by American Christianity instead of being influenced by biblical Christianity. And we have to be careful by that. See, they prayed, make us bold in the face of this. And if we see Christians around the world and their strength and their boldness in the face of persecution, that's what we see. But we have been too influenced by our easy American way of life. And we need to be influenced by Scripture. and not our culture. So when we spend time with Jesus and we're in His Word and we pray and we grow in Him, we spend time with other Christians and we grow and are encouraged and can encourage one another, then we'll become more like Jesus. And the proverb will be true: he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the compassion of fools, the companion of fools, will be destroyed. Let's try that again. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So are you wise? Are you walking with the wise? Or are you walking with fools? Who's going to influence you? Have you been with Jesus and been courageous? Or are you walking with fools? Walking with yourself? Walking with others that aren't influencing you for Christ? What are we going to do? Who are you walking with? Maybe today you need to say, it's time for revival. It's revival for me. It's time to rededicate. It's time to be serious. Time to be renewed. And maybe you need to rededicate your life to say, I want to be with Jesus. And I want other people to be able to see and take note that I have been with Jesus. And maybe you need to come for the very first time to say, I need to be cleansed. I need my sins gone so that I can be in His presence for all eternity. Whatever your decision that you need to make, will you come? Singing, make me a sanctuary. That we are the pure temple, because God the Holy Spirit will live in you, and you are the sanctuary.